I'm just sitting here looking at your bio, and I've been reading about you, and I'm so impressed. I want to start with the idea of how you started in music. I mean, you've been a chorister, you play the piano, now you're on the organ. I'm assuming your musical life began at the piano. Am I right?
That's right, yeah. I have quite a musical family as well. My grandfather is a composer, and my dad is an amateur jazz pianist. I learned the piano from when I was pretty young.
At what point was it decided, or did you get to go to King's College?
When I was 5, we moved to Princeton, New Jersey for 2 years, and then came back to Cambridge, and I went to the school at King's College School. I arrived just in the year that you auditioned for the choir, and I sort of picked up that they were doing that.
That paid off nicely because those of us who are familiar with the Christmas service from now, I understand you were actually the you opened that, right? One 2007 or something?
That's right, yeah, my last Christmas there. Strange system they have with that solo because it's under such high pressure because it's live that the director of music doesn't say in advance who's going to do it.
Little pressure at 12, huh?
But yeah, they don't decide who it is, or at least it might be decided discreetly, but no one's told until the moment when the broadcast light switches on, and then the director of music points to somebody to come and sing it.
Really?
Yeah, some years it's very obvious who's going to do it, and some years it isn't.
I'm taking it for your reaction and your telling of the story. That year was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
If you were 12 then, what are you, 21 now?
Yeah, 21.
And my gosh, how life has changed for you. This year you're making this is your third U.S. tour, is that right?
Third on my own. I've gone on quite a lot of US tours with choirs as well.
It's a different relationship that organists have with their instrument, and it's sometimes a circuitous route getting there. When did you decide that you wanted to play the organ?
Well, it was while I was a chorister, so I was singing in the chapel a lot, and the organ was very much part of my daily life anyway. And some of the older choristers were already learning the organ. There was a little organ at the school.
And you've got
So,
some great teachers right there.
yeah, I was taught first by the organist of the local Catholic church in Cambridge. And then I moved to my next school at Eton, where there's a very, very fine organist who's a teacher there, who's David Good, who has a big international career.
Yes.
I learned a lot just by standing next to him and watching him play.
You mentioned his name, and you've had a number of teachers, I know. But when you think back now, is there one person who stands out as more a mentor? I mean, besides family members, more a mentor to you than other organists?
Yeah, I think it would be David Good. I mean, he's the teacher I had for the longest period of time, and I think the sort of style of playing I have is most closely linked to him.
One of the things that I'm not sure people understand when they think about organists going on tour is more than most other instrumentalists, you're at the mercy of what's waiting for you when you get there. Most organs are different one from the other in the registries that there are and what you can and can't couple, what the voicings are. What's that like for you as a young man to go in? Do you find out before you get there, or do you walk in and, oh, this is what I've got?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you can get details and lists of all the stops online, but there's no real way to know how they sound until you get there, at least how they sound in relation to one another. But I think what characterizes a lot of American organs, particularly the ones I'm playing on this trip, is just that they have an enormous quantity of sound. They all tend to be absolutely enormous. And so actually, there's quite a lot to deal with. If an instrument has weaknesses, then they're more easily avoided on an enormous instrument like that than something smaller.
How was it you come to be coming to you're coming to Phoenix? Was that just you set it up that way, or was it an invitation, or?
I visited Phoenix with my mother 2 years ago. So we went up to Sedona and saw the rocks, and we went to the Desert Botanical Garden. And I thought it was just a really smart city and very, very pleasant place to be. So that's what attracted me to the idea of trying to find somewhere in Phoenix that I could ask to play a concert at. And yeah, the most obvious church for me was Trinity Cathedral.
How did you put this program together? Tell me what you'll be playing.
The main item at the end of the concert is the sonata by Reipke, who was a pupil of Liszt in the 19th century. And he's quite an interesting character because he wrote two fantastic sonatas, one for organ and one for piano. And then he died at the age of 24. People wonder whether if he hadn't died, he would have become one of the great composers. And I was asked to play that at the concert I'm playing 2 days before on the 11th. So I've been learning the sonata, which I've really enjoyed. And obviously didn't want to play it just once. So I brought it along to Phoenix. The rest of the program has some of the sort of standard repertoire that I play in recitals some of which is designed to showcase the instrument very well. I mean, I'm beginning with a piece that's actually not written for organ at all. It's the prelude to Die Meistersinger, the opera by Wagner, in an arrangement for organ. And because it's a piece written for orchestra, it has all the orchestral colours, and somehow that had to be translated into an instrument. And fortunately, the organ in Phoenix has a great range of colour that would be able to represent that very well.
I see you're also playing Duraflay.
Yes, the Scherzo. That's a piece I learned a long time ago, and I've played it a lot and really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed Duraflay especially because I've had lessons in Paris in the last few years with Frédéric Blanc, who is probably the most closely linked living organist to Duraflay. He lives in Duraflay's old flat, and I actually had an organ lesson in the flat because there's a house organ that belonged to Duraflay and his wife. And at some point, we stopped the lesson and had a glass of orange juice, and he brought some scores of pieces by Duraflay. I had to be very careful not to spill the orange juice on them. But he...
The other two composers many of us associate with the organ so closely, one is Vidor. That's a whole different feel from Duraflay.
Yes, he's one of the real key figures of that tradition. And we all know Vidor from the Vidor Toccata, which is played at weddings the whole time. But I'm saying this Andante Sostenuto from another symphony, which I think is a very, very fine and very beautiful slow piece.
The first half of the program, you end with Bach. How did you choose this prelude and fugue?
Well, it is difficult to choose. I mean, I play a lot of Bach, and I did spend a year in Leipzig, which is the Bach city, so I learnt a lot of Bach there as well. I picked this one. Actually, it's not the most exciting reason, really, but more for time constraints, because otherwise the recital would have been too long. This is actually slightly shorter than average prelude and fugue, but it's also one of the most well-known and one of the best. So it's a bit of a no-brainer, I think. I'm sorry, I don't have a more exciting reason than that.
No, that's a very good reason to include a great piece of music, and I'm still looking for a bad piece of Bach, so I'm fine with whatever you choose.
Yeah.
It's been delightful to speak with you. I hope I get a chance to meet you when you're here. I look very much forward to hearing you when you play this great program.
Thanks. Yeah, looking forward to meeting you too.